Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh,
that's right. Wake up out there. Good evening. You're on the air with Waking Up with Linda Mac Chan. It is Sunday. We have a great, exciting show. But you know, we believe in waking up. Become aware. Think. Take action. Step into your greatness. Stay there. And be sure to teach and take others with you. I have so much appreciation for you out there. And especially for the person who woke me up. Now I am waking you up. And together, we are waking up the world. And of course, I'm going to give appreciation to my LP, 112 Legacy Leader Group. And my faith-based organization, keeping me focused on my mission and on my humanistic vow. We have a great show that's coming on this evening. We have poet Mr. Tommy Lee Ray, a.k.a. T.L., the Midnight Poet. And the title of his book of poetry is Release the Peace. You will be in for a treat. Get your pencils and paper ready. Get ready to listen to some good stuff, some stuff that's going to take you from your next level to your next level. But right now, I'm going to put on a little bit of Maxwell until Mr. Lee comes on. Get your pencil and paper ready. And we're going to go and make sure that we do everything we do here.
Yeah, and if there's a thing that you
Over. We are happy, bright, and light because we're all victors here, and that's what it's all about. And a victor is one whose life shines with faith. And Emerson once said, that which benefits us is cheerfulness and courage and the endeavor to realize our aspirations, to advance toward our dreams cheerfully, to courageously work toward achieving them. That is what gives us sublime meaning and the value to our lives. And you know, it's all about lives. And in order to have a high life condition, you can create peace. I have the author, Mr. Tommy Lee Ray, on the line. His new book of poetry, Release the Peace, is something to really, really understand, read, get, keep it with you. You know, Release the Peace is a timely piece of literary work. Tommy Lee Ray is a gifted poet and writer, known as the Midnight Poet. He is an actor and a voiceover artist. His poetry shines a light on America, her people, and America's social and political ills. So if we have Mr. Tommy Lee Ray on the line at this time, are you there, sir? We're waking up with Linda McShann.
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, and welcome in. Thank you so much. We know you have many, many events. Thank you so much for coming on to share with the listening audience here. We are just so honored to have you. I've been looking at the great poems, all the poetry, all the dedication. This book is phenomenal, and I'm not going to take up a lot of your time. I want you to tell us and share with us, what inspired you, Tommy Lee, before you go into some of this beautiful poetry? And I'm looking, you know, I talk about my vow, my humanistic vow, and I'm looking at the first poem in the book is My Vow. This is so like Kenzoku, as we say. So I just want to give you the time to just take off. Just tell us all about Tommy Lee Ray, how it started, why do you do what you do, and why the book of poetry? And share with us. I'm here. I'm just going to be quiet.
Okay. Well, you can break in at any time.
Okay.
I began from the beginning, actually, how I came to have the name the Midnight Poet. I'm from a little small town that most people have never heard of. I am from a little small town called Midnight, Mississippi. And I spent lots of time with my grandmother when I was growing up, with my grandparents. And my grandmother, I call her Grandma Fanny, she had arthritis as long as I can remember. But she had this beautiful flower garden, and she was always reaching out to help people, even in her condition. Never stopped. She would go out every day and tend her flowers. So I thought, you know, let me make a really deep connection with my grandmother. I started writing poetry about her flowers. Of course, at the time, I did not call it poetry. I called it thoughts for Grandma Fanny. So I would go out and I would write about her poetry. And then I come in and sit down and talk with her about it. When I read the words, she would just cry, those beautiful tears running down that dark Cherokee skin of hers. And she'd pat me on the head and said, "Oh, baby, your words are so pretty for me." And so that's how I began writing poetry. I was about 7, 8 years old. My grandma Fanny actually passed on when I was about 12, and it was such a shock to me that I could not write any more poetry for years. But faith came along when I was 18. I don't know how great this faith is, but took me off to the war in Vietnam. And I started writing again when I was in Vietnam to help me get through the savages of war during that time. Now, I came back to the country when I was 21. I was sent to Vietnam again. So by the time I finished my tours in Vietnam, I had turned 21, just about 22. And so I began writing again. That was in the 60s, and, you know, all of the great movement and everything in the 60s. So I started writing again. And so I have continued to write the 60s, 70s, 80s, and the poetry has changed over the years. Actually, I had not published anything. I was just writing because I loved to write. And one day, past year, I was over at my Buddhist community center, and I ran into a friend who had helped me direct, at least produce, the last play that I directed here in Los Angeles called, what was the name of the play? When It Rained. And I had not seen her in about 5 years. It's Stevie Rutherford, a.k.a. actually Stevie, and call herself a.k.a. Ruth. So Stevie said the first words out of her mouth, I don't know why, she said, "Well, have you published any of your work?" And I said that same that I always say, "Well, I'm going to get around to it," because people were always asking me to publish my work, because I would write poems for people's weddings, for memorials, for birthdays, and all of that. And so at the time, I was getting ready to go in the hospital because I had stomach cancer. And it was 2 days before I went to go in. And she said, "Okay, when you are recuperating, start getting your poetry together, because the National Endowment of the Arts has a contest, not a contest, but an endowment for $25,000 for new poets. You have to have at least 58 poems." So in July, I had the operation. Actually, the stomach cancer, I had reduced that tumor from 19 centimeters down to 4. And the reason for the operation, because the doctor said, "Well, it's not reducing anymore. We probably need to remove it," which was a great benefit, because when they removed it, they found that it had actually been messed into my spleen. So I had been really sending out positive vibes and chanting to just have it completely gone. But that was a great benefit, because that spleen really is the place that you don't want a tumor in it. So I started recuperating, and around jumping at a time, of course, when you want to ask me a question about anything. In September, I started to pull my poetry together, and around October, I started meeting with Stevie, and I started looking at all of my poetry, and I realized I had over 300 poems or more, and she said, "This is not a book of poetry. This is probably about 4 books of poetry." It wound up being about 5 books of poetry. And this particular book, I went to Dr. Rosie Milligan, who is the CEO of Black Writers on Tour. This is happening on 18th of April. I'll be with her with Black Writers on Tour. She is the publisher of my book. And I decided the book that I would publish, in fact, is Professional Publishing House, with the name of publishing company. I decided to publish the piece, because I think it's pretty timely with all of the things that are going on here. We really need some peace. So that's how I began, and it took 68 years. So listen, everybody, nothing is never too late. You know,
68
years, and now I am on the way to winning it to a surprise, maybe. I don't know. So
well,
I'm so happy.
Will... okay. What it says is sometimes as I, you know, we hold ourselves back, we don't understand our greatness. But Tommy Lee, you know, I have been mesmerized by your poetry, your performances, your plays, you know, throughout the years. And I the first time I really got an experience of Tommy Lee was there was a performance, and I don't remember what it was about, but I was part of the unit, and it was it probably had something to do with Black history. I don't know, the Liberty Bell. I can't remember, but you did Martin Luther King. You did I Have a Dream, and I forgot what I was supposed to do. I just totally zoned out. When you begin, and it was not so much of what I was hearing, it was what I was seeing. So before you go tonight, we're going to get into the poetry. I would like for you to share that.
Okay.
That is like, I mean, you have many, many things. I've seen you at many, many events. And, yes, you do, you know, for weddings, for this, for that. And now the books are out there. It's totally global. It is totally about peace. You know, we are about the peace. And the title of it is so catching, Release the Peace, because it is so much needed. So could I just trouble you before you go? Don't let me forget. I would like to hear you do Martin Luther King.
It will not be a trouble. Actually, I have a story as to how I began to do Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. or to perform that presentation. I was a young man in Vietnam. I was 22. And Dr. King was assassinated 2 days before my birthday. And I was very, very troubled by that. And when I got back and got out of Vietnam and everything, I began studying all of Dr. King's writings. But this poem was actually written I think it was April 8th, 2 days after my birthday. And it is actually in this book. I will be reading that. But I want to tell you why I began doing Dr. King. When I decided to move to Los Angeles, my friend at the time, I had a friend who looked on information about getting parts and acting and everything, and said, "You should audition for this Dr. King. They have an audition for it. They're doing it around the country, and this company does Dr. King around different venues around the South, North, and West." And I called them up. They said, "Well, it's actually too late. We've already had the audition for the King that's coming from the West Coast. Plus, you'd have to send us the video, and then we'd send you a video. You have to send it back. We have to say it's okay. Then you have to send us recommendations." I said, "It's just too late." I said, "Okay, well, let me just do a little bit of my Dr. King since I got you on the phone." He said, "Okay." So I did a little bit of I Have a Dream, and he was just, he said, "You know what, to get the video, to get the recommendations, I'm sending you the contract."
I love it.
So I shall do a little bit of I Have a Dream for you. But before that, I'll tell you that when I was, the BBC was coming through Memphis to do an article on the Civil Rights Museum. I think they were doing a film. And they wanted someone to do an excerpt from that speech live because they had the recording. So I had started rehearsing on that speech, and one day I was rehearsing on that speech, and I started crying and could not stop crying. Mm-hmm. So when I finished, I just opened my mouth, and Dr. King comes out. So here's a bit of I Have a Dream. "And I say to you today, my friend, I still have a dream. Now I have a dream that one day my four little children, they will be able to live in a nation. They are not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today, and this will be the day that all the American children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My contract tears of thee, sweet land of liberty I see, land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim tribe of every mountainside. Let freedom ring." A bit of "I Have a Dream."
Wow. You see? They thought King was here, because I looked up, I said, wait a minute. Tommy Lee, you are remarkable. I am so glad that we're in each other's life. I'm so glad that we're in the army for peace. As I read back here, it says, "His voices of consciousness carry in the wilderness, soliciting all to join the army of peace." And when I read that, I said, that's right. You know, it's all about peace, love, happiness, and harmony. And I'm so glad that I have you, because I've always been able to, your spirit is that of such, you know, it just flows like the wind. You're just soft, you're just humble, you're a beautiful individual. And now that you're on with Waking Up with Linda McShann, there's others that's getting a taste of this, because it's not about what you say, it's what you give. And it's a feeling, you know, and people can go from training or whatever they need to do, but it's nothing like getting touched by a heart. And it's nothing like two hearts coming together. You know, we have a big mission. We have a big vow here. And I'm looking at the first poem here, which, you know, I always say that I have to give appreciation to my faith-based organization, keeping me focused on my mission and my humanistic vow. And I look in the book and I see vow. Could you do the vow for us, please, my vow?
Yes. I'd like to do one thing before I do the vow.
Okay.
I'd like to say who the book is dedicated to. And I say, without love, care, and dedication, and vision, and encouragement, I would not have been able to begin or continue my life as a writer. And I dedicate this book, first of all, to my mother, Lorraine, who is a poetry pastor. I hope to one day come back on the show and just read her poetry. And my grandma, Fanny, my beloved grandma, and my empress, my wife, and my Isaac Ukeda, president of Soka Gakkai International. He is my life mentor. And Mr. Joseph Thomas, who introduced me to chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. And Miss Steve V. Rutherford, a.k.a. Ruth, my writing coach. Woke me up after that 68-year slumber and said, now is time. And she's putting together a lot of things. I will be having a book signing on May 16th, and I will come back on and tell you all about how people can get involved.
Yeah, May 16th. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm putting this down, so we'll watch out for that, okay?
Yeah.
And you don't know the location yet, right?
Don't know the location yet. I'm putting things together. In fact, the book has just been published about 3 or 4 days ago.
Wow.
And, so I'm so happy that everybody's that I've seen, you know, want copies, you know, it's so great. Like always, in fact, I've even had this young man who is called Dollar Boy from Memphis, Tennessee. He's well known by so many people. His mother and I are friends, and they're going to bring me to Memphis. He has a program. He's putting up a place for at-risk youth. He's a hip-hop guy, and I'm going there to do spoken word from my book. So let me do this piece, and we'll come back and talk some more. And I you know how this piece came about, of course. It is about my life and my practice and how I began and am continuing to challenge myself to live up to this vow, to bring about peace within myself, thereby bringing about peace in the world itself. It's called My Vow. I awaken with the morning sunrise, bowing before the rising sun, the seat of enlightenment. I close my eyes and I gaze out upon this earth filled with misery and violence, a bottomless sea of negativity. Opening my eyes to my universe within, looking beyond the chaos, evoking the universal law of love, Nam-myoho-renge-kyo. Rising from my seat of enlightenment, I step boldly into my everyday world with the spirit of humanity. I move forward with each of you, my brothers, my sisters of planet Earth, carrying out the vow. And through our actions as human beings, the world's winters always turn into springs. We are one with each other in life to absolutely continue moving forward towards the next 100 years with deep determination, fostering youthful spirit, and world peace is being achieved. One to one, moment by moment by moment, the vow.
Wow. That is it. That's it. That's it. With deep, as you were reading it, because I have the opportunity of having one of these wonderful books, but I will bring it because I need to, I'm putting it in a frame. You know, this is a special thing for me here that I can go in and out. But what I like about it, I mean, everything is there. You know, we know about the power of love. We know about the power of Nam-myoho-renge-kyo. But I'm looking on the screen here, Tommy, and I see some callers. I'm going to go in and see who's on the line. So just bear with me.
Let me make an apology to one caller who's constantly calling you right now. I gave her the wrong number, Tashan. She's
okay.
A great singer. And I'm just so sorry that I gave her the wrong number. She's called me 3 times, and I have nothing I can do. So maybe I just wanted to say that and thank her for attempting to really call in.
Maybe we could call out on her. I'm going to go in on this first caller because they've been holding. Let's see, and I'll open it up. So let me go in, and then we're all on together.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Waking Up with Linda McShane and Tony Lee Ray. Who's calling?
Yes, my name is Shane Avery. My question is, why do they call him the Midnight Poet?
Okay.
Let me restate it. It is because I am from a little small town called Midnight, Mississippi, and no one probably on this call has ever heard of it. And so I wanted to go back to my roots, because my roots is where all of this began. And by calling myself the Midnight Poet, I am honoring my grandmother, my beloved grandma Fanny, who is the creator of my spirit, to begin writing these words. There you have it.
Oh, okay. That sounds very, very beautiful that you would dedicate your inspiration to your family member.
And that's a fantastic neighbor of mine. He has a great son, and he's really teaching this young man about, you know, to move forward with positive attitudes in this world right now. And he's been quite helpful to me from time to time when I needed things because, you know, I had that old, and they call it cancer, but I called it my pathway to enlightenment. I didn't give it that name. Shane, for all of the assistance he's given me. Thank you very much, Shane.
Yeah, I'm here.
Mr.
Okay.
Avery, so that was satisfactory.
Yes,
well, don't go anywhere. I have another caller. Let's see who else is coming in. We want to get this party going. Hold on. Hello, you're on the
Hi.
Line Waking Up. And Tommy Lee,
Hi.
This is Waking Up with Linda McShane. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Lee calling. And I'm calling to ask the Midnight Poet where he gets his inspiration from and what inspires him to continue writing.
Okay.
Okay, I can answer that question. Where I continue to get my inspiration from is my interest. My wife, she doesn't like to be publicized and all of that. She likes to stay in the background, so I won't talk about the name in any of that. But I will be doing a piece that You know, my wife said to me, you know, why don't you write the poem and become President Obama's inaugural poet? And I said, yeah, right. He said, well, yes, you write all these beautiful poems to me. So that was when he first ran for president. And for, I don't know, it was in June, I couldn't think of anything to write. I had read his books, and one day I'm riding around in Hollywood on my bike, and suddenly the poem popped into my head, and I had to call my answering service so I could get it down before it erased itself, because it was so organic. And so as a result of that, I will be reading that poem tonight. That poem, we attempted to get it to the president by all means. We sent it FedEx, and we sent it expressly. We sent it to so many people, and it never got there. However, it finally did get there. My wife's doctor, who is ear, nose, and throat doctor, who is very good friend with the president. His daughter has worked with the president since he was a senator. So I was getting some work done on my ears, and we asked him about his daughter. He said, well, she never answers the call. But let me call her anyway. He calls her on the cell phone, and she answers. She had just gotten out of a meeting. And he just passed the phone to me and said, I got somebody who wanted to speak with you. I spoke with her and told her about the poem. She says, well, I send it to me, and I'll see what I can do about getting it to the inaugural committee. And, you know, if it's any good. I sent it to her, text her a couple of days later. She said, Tommy Lee, this poem is excellent. And she said, I will send it to the inaugural committee. Although I did not get chosen, the poem did get to the inaugural committee. And actually, later on, my doctor did actually get the actual poem to the president. So I hope that in the future someday that I will get the opportunity to actually read that poem for President Obama. And I have written a thing about that poem, about how it came about, and the fact that I know it's going to take 25, maybe 50 years before this really realize the greatness in this president, like it took 50 years before they recognized Dr. King. So I won't say more about the poem, but I will read it later on. Okay.
Well, can I have a follow-up question? May I ask a follow-up question?
Certainly.
Question to the Midnight Poet is, as you continue through your journey of life, will you continue writing your poetry, which is so uplifting to the masses and inspiring younger poets and inspiring the world? Will you continue to do that, and what will you draw on? And I would encourage everyone to go out and purchase this book. I've purchased it myself, and it's very, very inspiring, and it's very uplifting. And I thank you for your work, and I thank you for your words, and I thank you for your good energy that you're emitting into the universe.
Well, to answer that question, in the back of my book, I thank you for all of those inspiring and kind words. And the back of my book answers that question. It said here that they have a way of changing our lives. At 18 years old, I was sent into Vietnam War. The day I found my voice again, and I have continued my love there with poetry. Despite being wounded in the war, I toured the U.S. with my one-man presentation celebrating the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Surviving cancer, a heart attack, and life's challenges, I continue to the joys of my writing forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's the answer to that question.
Thank you. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you so much for calling in. Tommy, I have another caller. Let's go in. Just a minute.
Wow.
Hello, you're on the line with Tommy Lee and Waking Up with Linda McShann. Who's calling? Hello? Well, Tommy, maybe they... Hello? Are you on the air? You're listening to Waking Up with Linda McShann. Who's calling?
Well, maybe while they are attempting to get through, I'll read this short piece, and maybe they will stay on the line and then have the opportunity
they can
to
listen.
Get through. Okay.
Yeah, we'll let them listen. Sometimes they're just on listening, but it's okay. Just hang in there. This is some good stuff. Don't go anywhere. Okay, Tommy, take it. Where are you going now?
This was about the young man, Trayvon Martin, when he was, they say killed. I say he was assassinated.
Okay.
And a friend of mine, who I'm also a certified clinical hypnotherapist, and I help people, you know, to get past things and, you know, I'm getting past a lot of things myself, you know, with the whole PTSD thing. And so this client of mine was a haiku, he wrote haiku poems, and I had never written haiku poems. And so he began talking to me about that. And so my first haiku poem I wrote about the situation with Trayvon Martin, and I called this No Justice, Justice? And it says, walking home between raindrops, Trayvon, innocent, silent night, life flashed strawberry red on green grass. Justice is where? And that's it.
Wow. Walking home between raindrops.
And Haiku Point has to have a number of lines, you know, five lines, seven lines, and you have to be able to get your message in that
right
time, yeah.
The splash,
yeah.
Wow, the splash, strawberry red.
You know, this life, his blood, his everything, just there, and so that I felt so I really had to write that trademark. So if somebody else, maybe that person was on the line, did they come in?
They didn't come in. They're just holding. You know, a lot of times people will just call in just to listen and just get that live. This show does archive out on Facebook once it ends. It posts out. It archives forever. There's links that can be sent. It's just something that you can have out there, which is a great thing. My youth love it because what we're really doing, and as you and I both know, that is the youth, that's the present, and we have to make sure that all of our youth are capable, and which they are. Every youth that you meet is capable, and this is what we do. So through a book, through an author, is how this show got started, and we'll talk about this. But I'm looking here, step into your feelings. Just give me something that you want to share, however you feel, wherever you want to take it, and give us enough time before we go, because we're going to go down about 5 to 8 of how to connect with you, how to get the book. But I just want you to relax and just do Tommy. I'm just going to sit here. If another caller comes in, we'll get him. But right now, we're kind of clear. So please go for it.
Okay, I call this my signature of peace. You know, it is my, what you call it? I don't know. It's my signature. However, before I do this, the poet who has most influenced me has been Winston Hughes. And normally, before I do any kind of presentation, I will do something from Langston Hughes.
Okay.
So I'd like to do something showing my dedication and appreciation to who I call my mentor poet, which is Langston Hughes, the poet laureate of Harlem. I call him the poet laureate of the world. But I'm going to do his poem called Rivers. I've known rivers. I've known rivers as ancient as the world, and older than the flow of human blood and human veins. My soul has been deep like the rivers. I bathe in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I build my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I've looked upon the Nile, and I've heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abraham Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I have seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers, and my soul has grown deep like the rivers.
Wow. Oh, my God. Langston Hughes.
Langston Hughes.
Yes.
So that's where I began. I would say my rhythm of how I write. And this piece is my signature piece, and it's telling all of us that we are the one, and don't let anybody take it away from us. This is called Step Into Your Feelings.
Yes. Okay.
And it's a hard world where people are used, abused, confused, to be controlled. Don't do this. Don't do that. You can't do the other. Digging into your soul, trying to destroy your dreams, telling you to step into reality. No, no, no. Step out of their reality. Step out of their reality. Step into your feelings. The reality. The real reality is we are already worthy, and there is no test to pass. And said there is no test to pass. And sin is just a man-made abomination to foster control by others. Step out of their reality. Step out of their reality. Step into your feelings. Into your feelings. Now, the reality is we are already worthy. And we have come here to thrive and prosper, to live this grand human experience in lighthearted joy, not just struggle and pain. We have come here to have fun as we learn and grow. We have come to harvest our desires with the absolute knowledge that we can have it all, that we can have it all once we learn to handle our energies, meaning our emotions, our feelings. Step out of their reality. Step out of their reality. Step into your feelings. Into your feelings. And we have come here with a guaranteed freedom of choice, mandated by the very nature of our existence. Mandated by the very nature of our existence. The time has come for us to polish our diamond inside. The time has come for us to exercise our birthright. We are caught in no one's web. We are bound by no circumstances. We are victims of no one's condition, for we are beings who possess the sacred ability to implant any outlandish desires our limitless mind can conceive. For we possess unregulated, unrestricted, unconcessed freedom of choice, no matter what those choices might be. Step out of their reality. Step out of their reality. Step into your feelings. I said it's time to wake up. It's time. But how we made those choices happen. It's time to take our heads out of the sand. It's time to accept that what we get in this life, it ain't no accident. Step out of their reality. Step into your feelings. I said, step into your feelings. It's time for us to stop creating improper default settings. We must begin to remember how we made those choices happen. Remember the secret, the ancient wisdom we once knew so well before recorded history, wisdom that allowed us to create our passion with simple intent. You deserve it all. I said, you deserve it all. Your aspiration realized. No matter what they may be, you have only to want it and feel it, and feel it, and a whole life of extraordinary happiness is yours. I said, extraordinary happiness is yours, not can be. Will be, can be, will be. This is a cosmic guarantee. Namyo Horenge Kyo, Namyo Horenge Kyo, Namyo Horenge Kyo. Step into your feelings.
All right, Tommy Lee Ray, put it out there. Step into your feelings. Now, you deserve it all. You deserve it all. Your aspirations realized, no matter what they may be. You have only the one. Okay, that's my section. I will be looking at that section every hour daily. I'm going to write this down and put it on my book, my folder, my everything. I love it. I love it, but that's you. You move a soul. You move a spirit. You know, you wake us up.
Well, thank you. I'm humbled, and I'm so, oh, man, I am really just so overjoyed that people are there listening and calling in. By the way, this is the first broadcast of my poetry.
Really?
You are the first. Yes.
I'm the first one? I am so honored, you know. I am so honored. I am, too, out there creating the peace in my way and stepping into the greatness because I know, but, you know, our mission is peace and mine has always been the youth. So this all came about, Tommy Lee, as I shared with you, that another author had just written the book and asked me to read it. And I said, okay, I would. But I didn't read the book, and it was sitting there, and I said, you know, I need to call this gentleman and say, look, sir, I am so busy with these classes. I have not read this book, but I'm going to read it because you thought enough of me to ask me to read it, to tell me what you think. And I'm just so busy. I'm in school, blah, 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 blah. So we start talking, and I was so upset. Yeah. Because of the killings on the campuses, I think it was Santa Barbara. And I said, you know, our youth need to quit shooting and start speaking. He said, what did you say? He said, call this guy and tell him the same thing. The next thing I know, the next morning, they were working the board. I was on the phone and wake up with Linda McShann was gone. Just that quick because of that. So the focus is youth empowerment, encouragement, but we're all youth. We're all young at heart. I like persons like yourself. Because the young adults don't know, and I am so honored to have you here. Stephanie Haynes comes. Stephanie is a trooper. It's like the message can get out there, but I am really excited because I am the first one to have your poetry exposed. Now, you know I'm getting over here with my chest sticking out, and when I get off this phone, you know what I'm going to go do for appreciation because that's what it's all about. Tommy Lee, I love you. I love what you do. I am so glad that I saw you yesterday. I am so glad.
Yes, absolutely. I am too. That I ran into you.
And
you know,
that I opened my mouth. And I talk a lot. And so I let everybody know what's going on because people know, you know, they know they come. I have good support. But I like a well-rounded. I want everybody. This is for everybody.
Yeah.
And to know that this is the first, I'm the first, oh, yeah, really. You know I will be doing a play. I will be in contact. We'll advertise it out. It's called The Ghost of Mar Barker. And I will be, my character, I'm a medium. And it's written by Trace DeVay, and it's going to be serious. So you will be in that front row right there. I'm kind of excited. Well, I am very excited about it. But you know how our minds run. And it's like, okay, all right. Because I always say I'm not Hollywood, but I am Hollywood. I'm the world, really. So I don't like the flim-flam of Hollywood. I don't like the pretentious phoniness of it. So that's the part that I don't like. But I have to push that to the side and get on and do what I do. And as the young lady that I spoke with yesterday, I didn't hear you tell me.
You have to allow yourself to be. You know, what I'd like to do is, I'd like to do this particular one. I don't know how much more time we have left here. The reason I want
to. We got time for you to do it.
Okay. First of all, my wife, who really encouraged me to write this piece, and I really feel that America. It is time for America to be reborn, and it is being reborn by what's happening. I give great honors to President Obama, and I never called him Obama. I called him President Obama.
That's right.
But this book was written for him, though I did not become his inaugural poet. For me, I am his inaugural poet. And this poem is entitled, Our America Reborn. This is inspired by me and my wife, my hipsters.
Okay, Our America Reborn?
Say it again.
Okay, the title of the poem?
The title of the poem is Our America Reborn, and I've added a subtitle to it, America Will Be.
Okay.
And that's a poem from Langston Hughes, so I've added that to this poem. So here we go. Our America Reborn, America Will Be. We are now a new America, reborn of a new American human revolution, a bloodless revolution. No guns, no bombs, youths alive, no longer lost. A new American human revolution within the soul, the mind, the spirit. America is again the promise of humanity, the bastion of freedom. Our time for change has come. Let us be the change we wish to see. A time has come for holding hands, red hands, black hands, white hands, brown hands, yellow hands, children, mothers, fathers, joining hands from Jamestown to the Bronx, Appalachia to the trip steps in Birmingham, Alabama. From the cotton fields of Midnight, Mississippi to the streets of Memphis, Tennessee, hand in hand, a family calls America. Our time has come for America to ascend the mountaintop of inclusion for all that America is. A new American human revolution will bring about a change in the individual, changing the nation, changing the world, cleansing soul, mind, and spirit. And once again, together, we lift every voice and sing, America, America the beautiful, with and the waves sea to shining sea, from the beaches of Hawaii to the banks of the Nile River, joining hands around the globe, America, a lighthouse of humanity for a world that stands as one. Under our colors waving red, white, and blue, we the people together stand, our hope indivisible with this new wind of change, wrapped arm in arm around our new America reborn, America will be.
Really? I love it. Well, let me ask you. I know you're getting ready to tour. You're going with the Black Writers Convention. When are you going to come back and share with us? Should we talk about this? Would you? I mean, it's so much happening. For the book signing.
This is a good time period for me. Sunday evenings like this.
Uh huh.
This is a good time period for me. So I will come back again next Sunday and talk about some things. I don't know. Maybe talk about the book or read some more poetry.
I'd love for you to do that. I mean, it's like Stephanie Haynes comes on, and you know Stephanie is the author of The Healer of the Wound. Stephanie shares, and she comes on Thursday, and she takes us through our workbook. And what I do, listeners, our email address out there is lmacnetwork@gmail.com. And so I post out, and emails come in with questions. Sometimes there's calls, a lot of emails come in, so we get those emails in and we answer. So I'm offering it to you. Also, if you would like to come and share more poetry next week, we'll let me know, because I can always extend out. And then you put your caller base out there, and I loved it because the questions and your callers came in. That's just beginning. This board, I think, will hold up to maybe 10 calls at a time.
Well, let me shout out to another person that I did not give the right number to. Tiffany Jones called, and she called in several. The people who were, there were several people that names showed up on my phone who I inadvertently gave the right or the wrong number. So I want to give a shout out to Tiffany.
It was Tiffany, T-I-F-F-A-N-Y, Jones.
T-I-F-F-A-N-I, Tiffany Jones. He just started to chanting on your already, Rachel.
Okay. So what I will do when I post out and I talk about it, I'll give her an apology.
Yeah, okay. Yes? Let me do this if I might. I want to do this because, this is dedicated to my empress. You know, when I had the challenge with, I called it not cancer, my pathway to enlightenment, this is how I felt about how I was able to heal, chanting and, you know, using whatever vessel of treatment. So this poem was written to her. And if this is the last one I'll be able to do, that's okay. It's called Blue Moon Magic.
Ooh, okay.
When I was diagnosed with stomach cancer, I complained from so much pain. Never once did you say, be quiet and listen. No, you simply replied, that is why I am here, baby. Just relax and let me. I will be with you as long as time takes. Oh, how I love this spirit. This spirit of yours is so beautiful, bringing joy to my soul. You are my magic. For an eternity, you come once in a blue moon. Say my magic, stay my magic. That's to my nipples. And thank you so much for giving me this magnificent opportunity to share with people the joy
of... Well, Tony Lee, is yours is open. That's what we do. And if you can give us your contact information before we say goodnight, could you please share that with us?
Yeah, it is right now I'm setting up a new email, but for now it is TOMYELEERAY@gmail.com. And let me give you a number. This is a number that you can, this is not, well, let me just give my phone number.
Okay.
323-239-3899.
239-3899, okay.
Yeah, I'm able to do poetry and, speak spoken words and do Dr. King. I'm also a certified clinical hypnotherapist. We'll probably have to talk about that the next time.
I think we should. Yeah, we want to find out as much as we can find out. Tony, and if you'd like to come back, now next Sunday I have an author coming on, Stephen Hodges. He does children books. And Stephen is, I met Stephen at the Leimert Park Book Fair. But we can stretch it out, you know. We might have to switch a time, but it's workable. But what I will do is I will text you. And yeah, we can get on and have some more fun. I love you coming with us. I love your poetry. I love you. And will you say these words with me that you said in that poem before we go? It's in the first poem. What are those famous words that get you through the day? Let's hit it, Tommy Lee, for the peace of the land. Are you ready?
Okay, the first poem. I will say the last words is, fostering youthful spirits, a world peace is being achieved through our connection, one-to-one, moment-by-moment, moment-by-moment, world peace is being achieved.
Yes, it is.
This is the Midnight Poet. Thank you.
All right. Tommy Lee, Ray, the Midnight Poet, thank you so much. And I'm going to say those words with you. I know we were talking about evoking the universal law of love. Let's go for it. Ready?
Ready.
Nam myoho renge kyo. Peace and happiness to you.
Thank you so
love
much.
You, Tommy Lee. Love you, and I will be speaking with you shortly. I'm going to get some information to you. Listeners, that was Mr. Tommy Lee Ray, the author of Release the Peace, a book of poetry that has just been released this month. And Tommy Lee has beautiful poems. His contact number is 323-239-8899.
Again, 323-239-8899.
3899. Okay, I will post out. Thank you so much. Listeners, I'm going to take you out with Wake Up Everybody. I'm going to let Teddy pay all the way because it's time for you to move that blood through that brain and wake up, not just get up out the bed. We love you. See you on Thursday. Good night.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred.